At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms. At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
This is the Adam Carriker Show on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
I don't know who needs to hear this, but a Reese's egg has 4 grams of protein. All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Adam Carriker Show here on 93.7 The Ticket. Let's put a button on the Nebraska, the Husker Sports Roundup. Nebraska women's golf team competed in the Big Ten Championships. Huskers closed the season at the Big Ten Championship. Freshman Eden Lohrbach was Nebraska's top finisher with a 3-round total of 228 plus 12 to lead the Huskers at the Big Ten Women's Golf Championships in Maryland on Sunday. Lohrbach, a true freshman from Ames, Iowa, closed the day, the 3-day event with a final round of 77 plus 5. All right. At the golf course, after opening the round with a plus 3, with a 75 plus 3, sorry, easy for me to say, she added a 76 plus 4 on Saturday. Lohrbach tied for 61st individually in a 105 golfer field. Now, you and I were kind of talking. I haven't been golfing a ton, mostly because I don't do it well. That's to put it kindly. So I remember each and every time I've been golfing for the most part. I don't even need all the fingers on one hand to count it. I think it's a beautiful sport, and it's gorgeous. And I really enjoy the first 9 holes anytime I go. And then I just completely fall apart every freaking time. So first of all, I can hit the ball a long ways. Not consistently, but just every once in a while. But I have, it slices to the right. Like if I were a batter hitting, my ball would always go deep to the corner and right field. It starts straight and it slices to the right every freaking time. So there are literally times where if the hole's straight in front of me, I will contort my body to, like, if I was a batter at home plate, I'm trying to hit it into the stands in left field, hoping that I might hit it into center field. See, this is how good I am at golf. I'm using baseball terminology. But that's how much it slices every time. So that kills me. And then out of nowhere, it doesn't slice. So then that kills me because then it goes straight. And then my body's contorted the complete wrong way. But usually for about 9 holes, I do great. The last 9, I know golf's a technical game. It takes a lot of time. I also don't have the time to dedicate to just get good at it. It takes so much time, and I respect that about the sport. The golf courses are beautiful. It takes a lot of time to be good at it. It's a very technical sport. But it bothers me that I struggle on the back 9 because I'm like, am I soft? Am I mentally weak that I can't hold up? Like, why can I not hold up? I mean, I'm not good on the front 9, but at least I feel like I'm there. I'm having fun. I'm relatively way below average, but I feel like I'm on par with some people who are there anyways, and not the actual average to good golfers. And then the back 9, I just fall apart. I don't know what it is. Jake, am I mentally weak? And if I am, you can't tell me because I can't handle it because I'm mentally weak. So you have to make up an answer. Seriously. Like, when you golf, do you enjoy it? Are you good at it? How's it typically go for you?
Well, I'm like you. I mean, I think we all kind of like things that we're pretty good at. And that's when, you know, we tend to do those sort of things in our free time. I'm not very good at golf. So I don't go out there too often. But I'm kind of the same way. I mean, I kind of play my slice. You know, so the same type of deal. And yeah, I mean, if there's, I guess if you're competitive and you play 18 holes and you're not very good, there's going to be a hole or two where you just get way off. And that's what generally happens. It's just like, all right, I'm at like 10. Let's just, I'm not going to do this. You guys are already leaving. I'm just back here hitting the ball back and forth, you know. So I think that that's where I run into problems in golf is there's usually one or two holes where it's just like I'm no longer competitive in whatever race we're doing because this is awful.
I like your theory much better. It's not that I'm mentally soft, it's that I'm too competitive. I'm going to go with your theory henceforth going forward for the rest of my life. It just sounds better. I don't know if it's accurate, but it makes me feel better about myself. All right, let's talk a little Nebraska men's tennis. They had a great battle with UCLA. They got a tough stretch down the road here. UCLA, they just battled in Ohio State. I think it's USC, and those are three of like the top programs in the entire country. I think Ohio State's number one currently in the Big Ten. USC, UCLA, they've always been good. Coming over from the used to exist, kind of exist. Maybe they'll exist. They got seven teams, used to be 10 and then 12. Now they're gone. Now they're back. I don't know. Anyways, the USC, UCLA came over from the used to be Pac-12, whatever it is now, if it even exists. And they were good to begin with. All right. So it's interesting because most coastal teams tend to be decent at lacrosse and Duke for whatever reason. Lacrosse and tennis and those types of sports. So, of course, UCLA is pretty good. They're number 21 in the country. All right, it came down to third set tiebreakers on three courts. The number 41 Nebraska men's tennis team fought hard in a tight senior day matchup against number 21 UCLA. On the season, Nebraska's 15-8, 8-5 in the Big Ten. All right, they did fall to the Bruins late. All right, there was an upset from Ashton Shep. Okay, ended up getting the win for UCLA, but great, great match they had versus UCLA, the Nebraska team did. Now they're going to take on Ohio State next. Maybe they can get a big win there, jump up in the rankings, get some momentum going into the postseason. Nebraska men's gymnastics garnered 6 All-American awards when they competed at the NCAA championships. These took place in Ann Arbor, Michigan. The number 4 in the country men's gymnastics team grabbed the 4th place finish at the NCAA national championships with a total score of 326.222. All right, head coach Chuck Chemka's 10th consecutive top 10 finish. All right, 10 years in a row. Very impressive. Top 10 finish at the NCAA championships. Chase Mondai won a silver medal on the floor with a point team 14.566. Chris Heiser was a 4th place finisher on rings with a 14.133 to close out his career as a Husker. All right, 6 All-Americans. Nebraska men's gymnastics team finishes 4th in the country, a strong finish to their season as well. Track and field, 3 Huskers win titles down in Texas. Kelly Kortminer, Jenna Rogers, and Tyus Wilson won titles on the second day of the Michael Johnson Invitational as the track and field team wrapped up competition Saturday afternoon. Wilson earned the men's high jump title as he cleared the 2nd highest mark in the country, 2.25 meters. Reed Nelson finished 2nd. Let's see here. Kortminer was the 3rd Husker to claim an event title. She threw a personal best 16.89 meters in the women's shot put, the 9th farthest mark in Husker history. All right. Any other Husker sports we should specifically chat about before we kind of move on to the next thing here, Jake, that we haven't hit just yet, maybe?
Not necessarily. I'm just looking. I am looking forward to that tennis match between Ohio State and in Nebraska. Peter Cobell helped win a title at Ohio State. So there's always a little bit something extra there. And they did also beat USC before the UCLA lost this weekend. So, you know, I know they wish they would have been able to cross that line against UCLA, but it's been a fantastic season for them over there.
Yeah, they've done really, really well. I do think they can make some noise in the postseason as well. As you mentioned, beat USC, took UCLA down to the wire, got a great opportunity versus the number one team in the Big Ten right now, which is the Ohio State Buckeyes. Our current men's tennis coach, alumni. So that's a little bit of a, I'm sure it's got a little bit of extra meaning for him as well, of course. All right, let's see what we got here.
Life is a workout, and Smoothie King is here to help you power through. Whether you're grinding out bicep curls or muscling the couch across the living room, crushing morning miles, or sprinting through back-to-back meetings, Smoothie King has fuel to help you maximize your workouts, own your recovery, and elevate your game. Give your body the energy, protein, and power it needs with a lineup of delicious smoothies made to help you conquer your goals. Only at Smoothie King. Life is a workout, And Smoothie King is here to help you power through. Whether you're crushing morning miles or sprinting through back-to-back meetings, give your body the energy, protein, and power it needs to help you conquer your goals. Only at Smoothie King.
Oh, Nico Iamaliava. All right. So you probably heard this. This is going back a little bit of a ways. But Tulane was an early front runner. They ultimately pulled out. I do think that would have been interesting, him potentially going from Tennessee to Tulane. All right, regardless of the money. But it is official. Nico Iamaliava, who is a five-star quarterback coming out of high school from California, is going back home to the state of California. All right, he said, and I quote, "Even though this chapter is ending," talk about a Tennessee, "a new chapter has begun, and I am committed to UCLA. I am going home," end quote. Iamaliava was a highly regarded recruit who led Tennessee to the college football playoff last season. He was he was number one in ESPN's transfer portal rankings, and immediately gives UCLA one of the best-known players in the sport upon his arrival. The Bruins are coming off a 5-7 debut season by coach Deshaun Foster. We've talked about this quite a bit. That was not my notes. All right, this was an article. Let me see. It does not say who wrote it. Let me scroll to the bottom here. Maybe I can find it. Yeah, it was on ESPN's site. I'll try to find who wrote it. But that was their notes. And I thought that a couple things were interesting. Would you have rated, and I don't even know who all's in the portal, because there's about 14 billion people in the portal, but he was number one out of all the players in the transfer portal rankings. Does that surprise you? Do they not factor in the drama factor? They don't factor in the drama factor here? Does that surprise you, Jake?
Not necessarily surprised, but just because of how heralded he was originally. And, you know, maybe this first year didn't go quite according to plan, but it's still a pretty good year, right? I mean, for a first-year starter to take his team to the playoffs, they had to rely on the defense and the run game, sure. But, I mean, his numbers were solid. I think a lot of it still has to do with his upside and what he can bring to the table in the next couple of years. So it's interesting. He didn't land certainly in a spot interesting to Husker fans, because Nebraska does play UCLA this year, November 8th.
Yeah, I mentioned it last week. What is it? Penn State, USC, now UCLA. It is always intriguing, but even more so with Nico Iamaliava, and then Iowa, all in the month of November. The month of November is loaded, ladies and gentlemen. And I thought this wording was interesting. One of the best known players in the sport. Not one of the best players or one of the best players in the transfer portal. One of the best known. There's a difference there. I just thought that wording was interesting. His upside is through the roof. I mean, it absolutely is through the roof. All right, Iamaliava, five-star prospect from California, was recruited by UCLA. Didn't quite work out. Obviously, he's going there now. He passed for 2,616 yards, 19 touchdowns, and 5 interceptions last year at Tennessee. But there was a drastic difference from non-conference to conference opponents in his success rate and or lack thereof. But in 9 games against SEC opponents and Ohio State in the playoff, he threw for more than 200 yards only twice, all right, in those 10 games. Tennessee's offense finished number 9 in the conference in scoring with 25 points per game in SEC play. The Volunteers' offense was number 1 in rushing and number 11 in passing in league play. Let's see. UCLA is coming off a season in which it finished number 14th in scoring offense and number 12 in total offense in the Big Ten. So this is interesting to me. I don't know that we have official numbers. But as we know, he was set to make $2.4 million. And if you read on in this article, had he stayed there throughout his whole career, he would have made over $10 million. Because we had heard 8 for a 3-year period. Well, according to this article, if you keep going out, it was over $10 million. Like, just stay there. You make over $10 million. By the time, what, he's probably 22, 23? Now, we don't know the exact number. At least I have not seen it. There's rumors that he's getting paid like $1 million at UCLA, which would be a huge drop off. But it's pretty much a given that he's going to take this is weird to say for a college player, but a pay cut. So the issue with Tennessee was that he wanted $4 million. He goes to a program that's closer to home, but not as good. A team that's not as good right now. I mean, Josh Heupel is one of the best offensive minds in the country as well. Maybe Deshaun will get there. He hasn't done it yet. For a pay cut. Now, all of a sudden, his dad's like, "Oh, it's about the offense at Tennessee." And I was like, "What? No. It's been about money this whole time." And he wasn't getting his value. He's got to maximize his value. He should be getting $4 million a year. Now that he's not getting the $2.4 million, it was about the offense. I agree. The offense wasn't very good. Their quarterback was slow at making decisions and pretty inaccurate at times. So, yeah, the offense wasn't what it could have been, Jake. All right, you got any final thoughts there? Am I being too mean?
I don't know. It's kind of mean, but it's fair because we have to kind of play the situation outright. Like, if he did go in and achieve his goal to get paid more, then I think we'd maybe see more players following. But this might be one of those kind of cautionary tales of be careful what you wish for. Like you said, they've kind of changed the narrative on why it was all done to begin with. Certainly good for UCLA to get this prize prospect at a discount, if you will. But yeah, I mean, if they had to do it all over again, you wonder if they'd ever even say anything, because I do think they're probably taking a pay cut.
Did you make a great point? The winner in all this is UCLA. They have one of the most talented quarterbacks in America who's now coming back home. So maybe it's easier for him to be more personally invested, less likely to leave. It's always easier when you're going away from somewhere that you don't consider home yet than staying home. And some people just want to get the heck away and go experience new things too. That's part of it as well. But a lot of those people eventually end up coming back home at some point as well in their lives, just in general. But yeah, the winner in this is UCLA. I also know for a fact that there are several college coaches. How do I put this? Ah, screw it. They're so happy with how this has played out, because how insane things are just got exposed for people who don't generally watch college football. They're like, oh, because this is not gone away. Every day I come in here, I'm like, oh, we're not going to talk about it. Oh, there's something new. Oh, here. People are still talking. It's not gone away. It's garnered national news. It's on non-college football podcasts. So it's brought a lot of attention to the insanity that is the current state of college football. And with all due respect to Nico, it didn't go well for him. And so this is going to discourage other players from doing this. Imagine had he gone somewhere and gotten $4 million. The message that would have sent and what would have happened with players across the country. Now there's a guy named David Stone out of Oklahoma. It seems, rumor and innuendo, he's supposed to have a big season for the Sooners, that he's kind of maybe doing the same thing. And to a degree, I get that. But what we're talking about, opt-outs and contract negotiations and holding up college football playoff games, that's not acceptable. That's not okay. And it's not all right. It's also the system allows it. So as often as I've kind of gotten on Nico, it's the people running college football, which is why coaches are celebrating like, hey, this is going to discourage more players from doing this. Also, it's exposing the people who are supposedly in charge of this sport who aren't doing a good job. Because now it's shown a light on the insanity for the world to see. Some of the things that at least need to be addressed or at least exposed, which might be the first step to addressing the inadequacies of the current state of college football. All right, ladies and gentlemen, got a whole bunch of other news, and we come back. Don't go anywhere. We shall return.